Health, freedom, and the future of America is what Moms Across America is all about. They are passionate about educating all of us on topics such as avoiding GMOs and toxic pesticides and how to improve the health of our communities. Moms is an organization / movement committed to a better, healthier future for kids. They execute their mission in every way imaginable, through initiating campaigns, supporting local activities aligned with their mission, and they share solutions nationwide to improve all of our health and freedoms. Now, please join me in welcoming a major force behind the Unstoppables, Zen Honeycutt. You're listening to Mrs. Green's World, and I'm Mrs. Green. Zen, it's great to have you here. After Pioneers, I want to share that story. You're the founding director, executive director of Moms Across America, author of Unstoppable, and how serendipitous. I don't know if you remember. I remember like it was yesterday. I sat down next to you at Pioneers with this huge auditorium in one of the plenary sessions, and I said, "Hi, what do you do?" And that's right from there. We went on and on. So I'm glad we made it work.
Me too. It's wonderful to be talking with you again. It was wonderful to meet you there. Pioneers is such an incredible space. I highly recommend it to everyone interested in the future of the planet and the health of human beings and life on the earth right now. So it's great to talk with you again.
And it's great. I agree with you about Pioneers. We were so lucky because Meredith and Kelly were able to go with me. And it's just, it's like getting your vitamin B12 shot, because they just fill you up with all kinds of hope and inspiration. So let's start with where I believe is a perfect place to start always. Let's start with your story, how you got to where you are, what inspired you, maybe an important change in your life. What happened that you're leading this big charge?
Well, what happened to me is what's happening to millions of moms and parents across America and people without kids. It was health issues. You know, my children were sick. And in America now, one out of two children have a chronic illness. In my family, it was all three. And unfortunately, that's what so many people are seeing today. My children had allergies that were inexplicable to my husband and I. He and I did not have nut allergies and then milk allergies and then gluten and all kinds of, mushrooms and just tomatoes. I mean, it was just mind baffling. And for many years, we just dealt with it. You know, we were just resigned to it. Oh, we just have to stay away from nuts. My son almost died on Thanksgiving evening from nuts. And it became a very serious and stressful and anxiety-causing issue for us. But for many years, we just did the best we could to avoid it. And then one day I was in my kitchen and my son was sitting at the breakfast bar and he looked at me with this red rash around his mouth and his very forlorn look on his face. And he said, "Mom, I wish all my allergies would go away." And I said, "Me too, buddy." But in my head, I was thinking that's never going to happen because the doctors had said that his allergies were just going to get worse. And all we could do was avoid them. And then I realized what I was thinking in my head. I was like, that's very resigned and doubtful. That's not, you know, that's not empowering. So I thought, what if we could do something about it? And I asked my son in reminding him about a cousin of ours that did avoid food and was eventually able to eat that food again. I said to him, "Ben, would you like to be able to eat a slice of pizza a year from now at a birthday party?" He said, "Yes." And I said, "Then would you be my partner in your health? Would you drink green drinks and go to alternative doctors and do whatever it takes to get healthy again?" He said, "Yes." Then I said, "Then I promise you, buddy, you will get better." And I shook his hand. And that was hard for me because I didn't know if I could. I didn't know how. But I knew if I made a promise to him, I would take actions that I normally never would take, right? When you put your butt on the line, you take actions. And so I did that. And within a couple of months, I had learned about GMOs and glyphosate on genetically modified foods and all kinds of other toxins. And I eliminated GMOs from our food because I was most focused on GMOs at the time. And within 4 months, his allergies were dramatically better. Instead of a red line around his mouth that lasted for weeks, it was a faint pink line under his mouth when he was exposed to his allergens. And they only lasted for about 2 days. And his strength improved, his focus in school improved. Now he's a straight A student, he's completely healthy, and his allergies, you know, it was about a year or two later, went from a 19 down to a 0.2. So he no longer has life-threatening allergies. And my other son no longer has autism symptoms. All three of them are much healthier. They have not been to a sick doctor visit in over 3.5 years. And we're saving plenty of money, ton of money, by going organic and addressing their health issues. So for me, the beginning of it was health issues. And then later on, I stepped into activism. And I think that's what how most people got into this issue.
So I'm sitting here and I want to start screaming. Is everybody listening? Do you understand this? Like, what's wrong with the health of our country is either the air we're breathing or the food we're eating or what we're putting on our skin. And you're sitting there and I'm going to almost start crying because I think about my grandchildren. That rash you described, that was my grandson, mm-hmm. Liam. He would eat something and come to our house and we would say, have that. Shame on me, Mrs. Green. And then in about 2 hours, the bright red, all those little dots and red rash around his face. And I just want everybody to say, just listen to what Zen said because it's truth. And we have the way to get out of it and it's affordable and, you know, overcome your objections and let's get on for a healthy America. So I don't even think we have to go into the Moms Across America part because you started it. It's an organization that does all those things I say, operates on so many volunteers everywhere. You just were the force that said, we're going to do this and moms are making the change. Is there anything you'd like to add about that in terms of the mission?
Well, just that we've really expanded our mission lately, which is to educate and inspire mothers and others to transform the food industry and environment, creating healthy communities together. And that by environment, that includes everything and anything that's coming at our kids and our families. And there's a lot that's coming at us right now. And I'm sure you address most of those issues. Your website's beautiful, by the way, and you address so many of those issues. And thank you to everybody who shares your website and gets the word out about your podcast, because it's up to us now. You know, clearly the government is not protecting us. Oh. Clearly the regulatory agencies are not doing their job. Oh. So it really is up to us to be the ones to make the difference and to get the word out. And so everybody that does that is taking on responsibility for the future of our planet. And I just want to thank you, all the moms, all the dads, all the grandmas, everybody that's done anything about this. And our group has been marching in 4th of July parades, having movie nights, speaker series, organic potlucks, and there's lots of ways to get involved. And there's no time like now. Right now is when it needs to happen.
And our lives depend on it. Let's face it, the lives of our children. I mean, my daughter's having a baby in May, and believe me, she's on it. She is on it for everything she buys for the baby, the car seat, and it is more expensive, except we pay for it on the other end with her healthcare costs. And we can't have those conversations with some people. It makes me absolutely crazy. And I don't want to make this show about me because it's such a hot topic. I'm just kind of laughing that of all the people I met, you were the first one I met and the first one I asked to be on the show. And now we know it's why. So let's press pause for a minute because I think it's really important. There will be people that say, what are they talking about? Foods have been genetically modifying since dirt. In the 1700s, we had, carrots were an orange and tomatoes were the size of marbles. Corn used to be very tiny. And what I would say to that is all that is true and genetic modification can occur. This is almost more a technical dive deeper in the weeds. It's genetic engineering. It's intentional engineering on the part of scientists and, of course, Monsanto, the big bad wolf, and researchers to not always change the food for the greater good. So would you agree with that? It's genetic, intentional genetic engineering that screws up our food supply.
Yes. I mean, some people do call it genetic modification and they call the other type of changes in the food supply simply, it's, you know, hybridization or evolution. The word genetic modification came on the scene when they altered a species by genetically engineering or genetically modifying the DNA with a completely unrelated species.
Right.
That was the first way. And then they also did it by adding in toxins, the ability for a corn or soy to produce a toxin inside of it so that when a bug ate it, its stomach would explode. That does not happen in nature normally, right? That type of
thing. I remember sitting on a show here with somebody and I said, did it comfort you to know you're eating a food that's labeled Roundup Ready? That does not comfort me. Roundup resistant? No, that doesn't make me feel good. So that's where it got into all of that really, you know, changing and impacting our health. And I think about our bodies getting the food in. They don't know what to do with it. They're like, what the heck is this that I just ate that someone just put in my body? So all of these maladies and ills and diseases, not just allergies, but life-threatening and sometimes deadly diseases are coming about. So you're really onto something. And if there's anything I believe in, it's mothers changing the world. So I'm on that. So talk about glyphosate. What is it? Why is it such a villain?
You just mentioned Roundup Ready. The first GMO that I mentioned was when the toxin is built inside of the GMO. So that's when the pesticide is built into the corn or soy.
Yeah, and you're eating it.
And the second one is what you called Roundup Ready. That's when the plant is genetically engineered to withstand or to tolerate Roundup or a glyphosate-based herbicide or other toxic chemicals now, like dicamba and 2,4-D. Now, we talk about glyphosate a lot because 80% of the GMOs out there are engineered to withstand glyphosate-based herbicide. It's the most widely used herbicide in the world. And, you know, people commonly know it as Roundup or Ranger Pro or one of those type of 700 different brands. Now, glyphosate itself was originally, it cleaned out pipes. It was found to clean out. It's a very insidious and strong chemical. And the chemical's patented actually as an antibiotic. And the herbicide itself, the full formulation, which has many other ingredients besides glyphosate. When people say glyphosate, they often mix it up with Roundup by itself, but Roundup contains many more other chemicals besides glyphosate, and many of those are 1,000 times more acutely toxic than glyphosate. So glyphosate by itself is harmful long-term, can cause endocrine disruption and many other problems. But the final formulation, Roundup itself, is extremely toxic. And you can see that in the results of things like the Monsanto trials right now, where they've lost two trials. By the time this airs, hopefully a third one. And people will be holding Monsanto accountable for causing non-Hodgkin's lymphoma through the use of their mislabeled product. So glyphosate itself is harmful, but the glyphosate-based herbicides, and glyphosate's never used alone. So when you say glyphosate, usually people are referring to Roundup, you know, the final formulation. It's a chemical cocktail. It has arsenic in it, heavy metals, petrochemicals. Let's be clear, things that should not be on our food. Now, the problem is that glyphosate does not wash off. It does not dry off and it does not cook off. So we're finding it in our food supply. Moms Across America was the first ones to initiate testing here in America for the public, and we found it in our tap water, our breast milk, our children's urine, later on in beer and wine, and many other groups tested and found it in cereals and oatmeal, and we also found it in orange juice and many different products. It's in sanitary pads, you know, anything that's cotton, because they spray cotton with Roundup as a drying agent. And so it's not just on GMOs, it's on many crops that are sprayed as a drying agent, like wheat, peas, beans, legumes, oats, garbanzo beans. I'm sorry, your hummus is likely contaminated unless it's organic. So this is why Moms Across America stresses organic so much, because so much of our food is contaminated now with glyphosate and other toxic chemicals. And your best bet is to buy organic. It may not be completely free of toxic chemicals because things do blow in the air and the rain does fall. But it's with the testing that we have found, organic has been far less, if not contaminated at all, you know, by thousands of times less than conventional food.
You know, on a personal level, there's a guy here named Don Guerra who started basically a bakery movement in his garage, and now he's gotten a big grant from the U.S., I think the Food and Drug Administration, I don't know, USDA, I'm not even sure. And I've been to presentations, it's wildly successful. They gave him money to actually open a bakery. It sells out every single flipping day unless you get there like by 10 o'clock in the morning or 11 o'clock. And his bread is from non-GMO, many native and regional seeds, and no one has ever had gluten intolerant people that walk past gluten and have a reaction can eat his bread. So to your point, it just proves it. It's like, bam, this, he said, I've never had anybody have a reaction because it's the compromised food supply that causes the allergies and the kind of gluten that's being used and the genetic modification. So I'm getting all worked up here, kiddo. I can tell you that. It's like, Gina, you better calm down. Keep a sense of perspective and intention here. Talk about some of the harmful impacts. Like for me, mm-hmm. I say my initials are Gina MD, not a doctor. I say everything that I hear about, I'm sitting there not being smug, being sad, saying obesity, asthma, all these algas, fibromyalgia, heart disease, cancer, autism, ADD, ADHD. To me, there's a significant amount of all of those things that in my lifetime, it will be proven beyond the shadow of a doubt, can be traced to a compromised food supply. Is that extreme for me to say that?
No, that is, I just came from a conference, environmental health symposium with 500 doctors and experts from around the world that gathered. And they said the same exact thing. It's environmental toxins. Now, where do we get the greatest exposure of environmental toxins, of petrochemicals, agrochemicals? It's through the food supply. That is the biggest exposure that we're experiencing. And we ingest them internally. And what is the largest, you know, amount of any chemical, which what is the most widely used? It's glyphosate-based herbicides. And so that is why we talk about it so much. You know, that along with BPA, that is, 20 billion pounds a year being used. Phthalates, DDT is still showing up in our food and in our dust particles because that was banned decades ago. So there are a lot of chemicals that we need to be aware of and begin eliminating. And one of the best ways to do that is to eat organic. You know, the other ways are to get rid of your toxic, you know, personal care products, your shampoos and your lotions. If you can't like eat it basically, or
if you can't pronounce it and spell it, don't have it in your closet.
Don't do it. Don't put it on your skin. Don't put it on your baby. Don't put it in your hair. You know, you really don't need all these lotions. People have used olive oil or coconut oil for lotion for many, many years. You know, you don't need all these other toxic products. So it's so important to avoid these toxic chemicals. And the important thing is, to notice is that there is a shift happening. 100 or 200 years ago, doctors would have said it's genetics or germs that cause somebody's sickness. Now, that's really not as much of a part of the discussion. It really is a focus on environmental toxins. What are you eating? What's in your home? Do you have mold in your home? What do you sleep on? What's in your pillow? What kind of mattress do you have? You know, what's your blood type? And genetics is a factor because there are people who have genes that don't detox the way some other people do, which is why it's so important to have customized medical care and have medical freedom. But it's not the doctor where you walk into the office and you tell them you have aches and pains and he hands you a prescription for a drug is no longer the type of doctor we should be seeing anymore. We should be seeing doctors that are going to do a full blood workup on us, that are looking at our minerals, that are looking at our heavy metals in our body. They're asking us, what do we eat? What do we sleep on? What's in our environment? Do we live near a farm? Right? All of these factors.
What's on our clothes that's rubbing off on us? It's like,
what water are you drinking?
Right. Yeah. What's that sprayed with? So I just have to ask you about the conference. Was it in San Francisco and it was with integrative health professionals as well?
No, integrative health professionals, but it was in Scottsdale, Arizona this time. They changed locations. Sometimes they're in San Diego, sometimes
Why didn't you invite me? I'm just down the road about an hour and 20 minutes. Okay. I just have to know because my friend, it's all connected, is one of my best friends who started this journey with me. She is in San Francisco for a big conference with medical professionals, doctors, MDs that are committed to integrative medicine, which is just what you're talking about. And she just sent me a slide with, you know, Michael Pollan is one of the people that was on the panel and we heard him speak. Mm-hmm. But so let's get back to this. I have learned so much just in the past month about my frustration about inspiring people to change. You can't shame them. You can't blame them. Education doesn't even work sometimes. What are you finding that's the first step is awareness, and the second step is being inspired to act. What is Moms Across America? What's some of the common denominators that you actually excite moms who do almost all of the buying, the cooking, the food preparation? how do you bring about behavioral changes, which is what you're all about? How do you, what hidden secret sauce do you have that are getting people to sign up and make the damn changes?
Well, I think that because I'm coming from the mom's perspective of we have enough problems, we need solutions, I never present a problem without some form of solution.
Right.
And that gives them a way to take an action, even if it's, you know, call the EPA right now because we're fed up that glyphosate is in our breast milk, you know, and we had 10,000 moms call the EPA in 3 days. We got an appointment with them and they did end up eventually testing for glyphosate in breast milk. And they did eventually come out with a report that now just this past week, that the federal government has acknowledged a link to glyphosate and cancer. So, you know, it takes time, but initially you need to offer a solution. And if you want to get people active and involved, I always encourage the type of thing that we did, which is have a date and a time and an easy, accessible event that they can get into. And that's why I suggested the 4th of July parades back in 2013, because it just dawned on me that, wow, we could reach thousands of people locally and millions of people nationally in a single day if we all just joined into our local 4th of July parades with a banner that said something about moms and GMOs, because people trust moms and we want to raise awareness about GMOs. We want people just to go and Google them, look them up and find out and educate themselves. And so we did that, and we had 179 moms join into 4th of July parades, and we reached thousands locally, millions nationally, and it just took off from there. We were reaching 300,000 a week on Facebook after, you know, just starting at 4 months after we started. So we're reaching millions of a month now, and been in, you know, many movies. I've spoken in 7 countries around the world, and we're now, you know, mothers across the world branching out. You know, people are really taking action because they know that they can get their children better. And once they see their children start getting better, they realize it's just not just about my child. My child's future spouses are out there somewhere. And this is a community issue. We need all children to be healthy in order for them to be able to procreate someday and have healthy families. And, you know, frankly, for the existence of the human race, we need to have everybody be healthy. And not just healthy, but making healthy decisions. You know, things like climate change will not be reversed if we have people in office that aren't going to make decisions to turn things around.
Yeah, that ate way too many GMOs. We had a whole conversation about that the other day about, I know what happened to him. Look, let's not even go there. But yeah, it was his diet. That's it. And it's the bad news in that arena continues. Having said what you said, how much research did you need? Oh, I know I can answer that. Zen Honeycutt needed 4 months of trying things with her child before his rashes starting disappeared. Did you want to wait to a 5-year study to make sure that what you were doing was right? I mean, come on, people. I'm kind of going like off the reservation a little bit with how I normally do an interview, but I'm a mother and a soon to be a grandmother again. And I just, I'm so passionate about it. And I don't want to jump down people's throat, but I'm like, if you're waiting for the research to come in, which sometimes is funded by the very people that are selling the pesticide, I'd go down another path if I were you. Just look about the health of your child. So
yeah. Look at them right in front of you. They're right in front of you. You can see when they eat the food, when they rash up, and you can see when they don't. And we don't need a 2-year scientific study with 2,000 rats and $20 million to prove that to us.
No, we don't. And then find out the study was really, what's the woman's name? You know, I'm sure you know her, Robin, that started, I had her on my show and her third child got deathly ill and almost died.
Robin O'Brien?
Yes.
Robin O'Brien.
Robin O'Brien.
She's the one who did patriotism on a plate. That's how I learned about GMO.
Don't piss off a mother, excuse my French, because then it's like game on. We're going to defend our young. Let's talk a little bit more about organic, because you know all the things I'm going to ask you, and I pretty much know a lot of the answers, and we can go down that trail a little bit. You know what people say. They say, I can't afford it. It's too expensive. This is how much I can pay for this. This is how much I can pay for that. So what would your answer be? And then if it's fine, I'll tell you what my answer is. What do you say to that?
Well, I say, hang on a second. Let's take a look at that. You know, basically think again. without saying think again or you're wrong, right? I say, listen, look about, just think about how much you spend on your child's doctor's visits and, you know, medications and therapies, and how much time you spend, you know, taking care of these health issues, and how much of a struggle it is for them to perform in school, right? Like maybe you have to spend more money on tutors, or you're just stressed out and going to the principal's office with them, or whatever that is. Take a look at that, and then take a look back on how much you're spending on this food. The other factor is to think about, you know, most people don't care about this as much, but the fact is that we're subsidizing GMO food and these toxic chemicals with our tax dollars. So it looks like that food is cheaper, but it's actually much more expensive, because not only are we paying for it with our tax dollars, but we're paying for it when we go to the doctor's office and they prescribe, for instance, like they did with my son who had autism symptoms all of a sudden at 8 years old, a $650 compound medication to get rid of the fungus in his gut, because he had gut dysbiosis. Now, at that same point in time, he had 8.7 parts per billion of glyphosate in his urine. He was the first one tested in America in our project. And he had gut dysbiosis, he had C. diff, he had very high, off-the-chart levels of bacteria and fungus in his gut. And he had all kinds of behavioral issues and learning issues, and his grades were dropping from A's to D's. So we realized that he was the only one eating wheat. My other two sons were gluten intolerant, and they did not have glyphosate in their urine. He did. And so when we eliminated wheat from his diet, which was being sprayed with glyphosate, and we cleared up his whole diet, 100% organic, and we did use the antifungal, you know, and sauerkraut to replace the good bacteria in his gut, and colloidal silver. He did not eat sugar from Thanksgiving until New Year's, because sugar feeds the bad gut bacteria. And he did have that antifungal compound medication, which costs $650 a month. So we did those things. And within 6 weeks, we retested him, and his glyphosate levels were no longer detectable.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
His autism symptoms were gone and have never come back. And so we're saving probably over $100,000 a year in therapies and treatments for a child with autism symptoms. And my other children, you know, not going to the doctors for their allergies and asthma and all of those other things, autoimmune issues, we're saving tens of thousands, if not over $100,000 a year, I see it, by eating organic.
And quality of life and their ability to get their education and to continue learning. Yeah. I mean, this is a ripple effect when it comes from what is in the inside out. You can see what happens. Tell me honestly, weigh in on this, and it might be something that will help me. I look religiously at the Dirty Dozen and Clean 15 list of fruits and vegetables that's updated every year by the Environmental Working Group. Do you feel that there are some vegetables and fruits that people can eat safely and don't really have to buy organic? How do you weigh in on that one?
I buy 100% organic as much as possible. Yes, because you just don't know. And I do have to mention, I do not like one thing about the Environmental Working Group list, which does not highlight enough that sweet corn on their list must be organic and non-GMO. Because if it's not, I mean, Syngenta has 12 different varieties of GMO sweet corn, just that one company. So to have that on the list, to me, is highly misleading. And we've talked to them about this, and we do hope they'll remove it. But they also don't test for glyphosate contamination. That's not included in their Dirty Dozen. So it's really, you know, that's a challenge. That list is a challenge for me. I just say, make your life easier, buy organic as much as possible. And, you know, do other things like go camping for vacations instead of to an expensive resort, you know, in order to buy organic.
Yes,
food.
Yes.
You know, make that shift so that's a priority for you. And do things like buy more rice and beans, you know, buy oatmeal, which is very inexpensive, organic though, and make your own oatmeal bars. Buy your own flour. You can make sourdough bread fermented, which is so much better for you, for $1 a loaf at home. If you buy a 5-pound bag of potatoes and of organic potatoes and cook them at home, you know, cut them up like French fries and cook those at home twice a week, for a family of five, you'll save $917 a year. I mean, there's your mini vacation right there.
And
you know,
there are solutions that you're pointing out that are like bam, bam, bam. Maybe don't get a latte once a day. There's budget items that can be redistributed, and they're like the Natural Resources Defense Council. I had someone on, I don't know, you know, it all comes together, 2 years ago that did an entire research study on how to eat healthy and affordably. And it's excellent, and it's good for everybody. It's full proteins. It's a really healthy diet. I've never thought about this, and I've never asked anybody, and I never play stump the guest, but you know a lot. Why the kids? Like, I'm telling you, you would come over to my house and you'd say, Gina, really? Is that, do you really have those saltines in your closet? And I'd say, yeah, I don't eat very many. So I'm not a purist. We are better. We are so much better as a family and healthy choices. My children, they wax me. They are just on it. They took this direction. Do you think that, here's the story I made up, because I was fed healthy most of my life because my mother cooked and there wasn't these issues, that my gut's in pretty good shape by now, so I'm kind of sealed against it. What's your thoughts on why it's not impacting different generations more harshly, or is it? That's the thing.
That's a great question. And even the American Academy of Pediatrics says that children are more vulnerable to environmental toxins, to pesticides and herbicides. Now, here's the reason why. And Andrew Liu from IFOAM, International Federation of Something Organic, he says that the children's livers and kidneys are not fully developed when they're babies and small children. So their bodies are actually incapable of detoxing the way that an adult's body is. And if you think about it, children don't develop kneecaps until they're 3 years old. Like, their bodies aren't even fully formed until they're 3 years old. So how the heck is their, you know, six-month-old body going to be able to detox the toxins that are coming into their body through breast milk or vaccines or through, you know, a daily dose of Johnson & Johnson, whatever, you know, type of shampoos, whatever chemicals are in there? Their body simply cannot detox it the way that an adult can. And once a human being gets through puberty and development and their reproductive organs are in place and their hormones are, you know, doing what they're usually supposed to be doing, then later on in life, yeah, their bodies do seem stronger. But when 20-year-olds are getting Crohn's disease and colitis and IBS at skyrocketing numbers, when 8-year-olds are getting liver disease, right? When 18-month-olds are getting cancer, you have to start looking
3-month-olds are having migraines. 3-month-old babies are have. Can you imagine what that would be like? I can count the amount of migraines I've had in my life. I was much older, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. It's just, if you think something's not wrong, what the hell is wrong? Heck is wrong with you? I'm using profanity on the show. That is not good, but I get a little bit emotional here, and I apologize for that. So a friend of mine, Janet Teodori, she's a well-known child psychiatrist. She like might not do it anymore. She would come over and say, I have to go for a walk with you. Let's go out to the labyrinth, because she's seeing kids sicker with things that she never thought could even happen to a child, and younger. She said, I can't stand the things I'm doing. So she's trying to work with family practice to get a trial with women to reduce the toxins in their environment and in their food before they get home. Because you're right, my mother used vinegar to clean. She did use ammonia. But look at you. We had a cocktail of cleaning solutions in our house, the Mrs. Green's household, because you just, look at those foamy bubbles on the toilet. That makes me feel so clean. And I was breathing them in. So it's a combination of things, but that's really a great answer about why the kids, it's our kids that are just, okay, there's another rant for Gina.
They're being inundated with toxins and they're not able to detoxify
no
them.
I know. Yeah. What kind of pushback do you get? Are you challenged about your practices and belief? And if so, how do you handle them? There has to be people that say, she doesn't know what she's talking about, or maybe there aren't. Maybe the world is turning into one big enlightened light bulb.
Yeah, we're not totally there yet, but we're on our way. In the beginning, and still though, every day I do get pushback. It's less now, but in the beginning, it was quite active for about 2 years. I was threatened and trolled and sent messages, may God smite you dead. And, you know, just lies, you know, articles with lies written about me. And it was really disturbing. And at first I engaged a little bit and allowed it to really stress me out. And internal sort of trolls would get into our groups and people would start to say things about people. And, you know, really they worked hard to divide and conquer us. And, you know, I have training and coaching, you know, I've done a program called Landmark, and I really thought that, you know, it's just words and that those words are not going to get in my way. I don't let fear interfere with my commitment. And so I take actions based on the future I'm creating, which is health and freedom, instead of actions that are based on the considerations going on around me, the circumstances, like I don't have enough money or I don't have enough time or this person's trolling me incessantly or so-and-so in my group doesn't believe me or, you know what I mean? Like all of those different types of circumstances could stop somebody. And the reason why my book is called Unstoppable is because we, and as an organization, and I as a person, continue to take actions based on that future we're committed to and not based on what's happening around us. So if we lose another battle, oh well, pick ourselves up and we're going to keep on going. What can we learn from it? But what can we do to keep on going? And that's what's going to have us win. And I believe that not only will we win in this, you know, this movement because of, and we are winning in many ways, because of our perseverance and the love for our children, but also because without integrity, nothing works. And what Monsanto and Bayer and Dow and Syngenta and all these other chemicals are doing has no integrity. They say that it works, but it actually doesn't. They say that these chemicals will actually have people grow food faster and better and, you know, all of that. But it's actually poisoning the planet and it's actually reducing the quality of the soil. It's reducing the integrity of the plant. So those crops actually aren't as strong and they do actually attract pests and disease. They're creating the very problem that they claim to be fighting. They create sicker plants that call pests to them in order to eliminate them. That's what nature does. And they destroy the soil so that the soil doesn't absorb water as much. It doesn't have the microbes in there that can fight off fungus and mold. So now we're seeing much higher levels of mold and fungus. There's a fungus out there right now that won't react to antibiotics or antifungicides. So people are dying from this fungus and there's no way to stop it.
And it's going to happen more and more and more and more and more.
Yes. They blame the pesticides.
Yeah.
So they're creating the problem that they're, you know, out to create. And we're not doing that. We're coming from love and being unstoppable. And so I really have faith that we can turn this around.
I love that. And I want to talk a little bit more about your book before we have to end this conversation that I wish could go on for about 3.5 more hours because it's feeding my soul and it makes me, in my mission, continue to be unstoppable. Who doesn't want to write a book called Unstoppable, Transforming Sickness and Struggle into Triumph, Empowerment, and a Celebration of Community? Like, who doesn't want to get that book? So tell us about the book and why you wrote it.
Well, I'm so excited that it's out there and that people are reading it and they're coming back and they're saying, you know what, Zen, I felt like that was you or me. And so I feel like it's a really relatable book. I pull in community, doctors, scientists, lawyers, farmers, moms, teachers, and activists, and they all, you know, share what it's like to be a part of this food movement and what they've learned and how we're transforming it together. So it's a real community book. And it's also kind of a how-to. It's got how to talk to your family and friends about GMOs and toxins, which can be very confronting. It's got how to, you know, have your family be healthy. I think it's 6 different steps. And also how to get involved in your community. So if you're looking for a book that's not only informative about the food supply and what's going on our planet with toxins in a very clear way, I think that I can explain the science in a way that almost anybody can get, and you want to know what to do about it, then this really is a very good book for you. And I'm excited it's going to be translated in China and Japan as well. So it's getting out there more and more people are finding out about what they can do to transform not only their health, but the health of their community, which is very exciting.
And I want to recommend to people, yes, you can order it online, but my new practice, what I'm preaching, any bookstore I go into in Tucson that's still locally owned, I tell them the name of the book and they get it for me. So you're supporting a local economy as well. But if your only stop is Amazon, get the book. That's what I say. So it's 2 o'clock. We have to have you out of here by 2:05. And I'm sorry for the technical difficulties, which I always acknowledge on the air. I have no idea. I always say now it's the Russians. I'm sure it's the Russians. So what else would you like to add in the time you have left before I close us out? And thank you. Just thank you. I'm so fired up.
Thank you so much. Well, I'd like to add that if you sign up for our newsletter on Moms Across America, you'll get a mini ebook, a small version of my book. So if you can't afford the book on Amazon right now or through our website, then you can get a free mini ebook. And that's if you sign up with our newsletter. And we really encourage you to do that because social media outlets are now, you know, really curbing
totally.
Our reach much more and more. So Facebook is fabulous, but it's also been more challenging to reach the people who actually sign up for our notifications. They're just not getting them. So we encourage you to sign up for our newsletter. Do put your phone number if you want to be ever texted or your address if you ever want to receive free materials from us. We do that now and then, and we don't share your address or your information. And also go to our website, Action, if you want to know how to get involved. We have a great page called Toxin Free Town Campaign, and that page can lead you to talking points and letters to your city council, your school board, your homeowners association, and even your legislators if you want to have your school or town or church or community go organic and stop using toxic chemicals, particularly glyphosate, then we can support you to do that with the information that we already have prepared on our website. And you can do it. You don't have to wait for another organization to come in and speak for you, which some do, and they do a very good job, but you may have to wait 2 years for them to do that. So we encourage you to get the information, go to your city council, ask them if you can speak about it, and just, you know, start doing that. It's very, very important to do that. And then if you also go to our events page, you can just click on events and post your own event. And when you do that, like a, for instance, a movie night or a park play date, or if you want, for instance, show our movie Communities Rising at a church or a library, you just post the event, the time and the date, and we'll know you're serious about posting an event. So we'll send you a free box of materials. You pay for shipping, but we'll pay for all of the supplies. Our sponsors have allowed us, you know, supported us to do that, about $200 worth of flyers. And then when you have that event, don't just leave the flyers for the attendees to take one or two.
Right.
Give them a stack of 100 flyers and say, will you leave this at your library? Great. Which one? Will you leave this at the local school? Great. Thank you so much. And send them on their way, beginning to be activists. And you will create health in your community by having people find out this information that Moms Across America supplies about the food supply and toxins. So we really encourage everybody just to take one of those steps, do one of those things, start an event, sign up for our newsletter, get my book, and take actions every day to create healthy communities. You will feel so much better. You'll feel fulfilled and you'll sleep better and you will be healthier.
I feel better just because I had you on the show, and I'm serious. It's like, this is our children, and everything that you mentioned will be on the show notes on the page of our website when your show is put out. Links to all of these things, so people that are listening in their car while they're running or on the treadmill, they don't have to worry about writing all that down. It'll be there for you at mrsgreensworld.com. And here's the last word that I want to really try to get in. We have one show on June 4th with Will Allen, another person, Roadside Farms and Markets and Beyond Organic. That's going to be on June 4th. So here's the last word from Mrs. Green. The Mrs. Green's World team is made up of a delightful group of what I believed to be highly evolved individuals. Well, for the most part. And somebody's going to laugh when they hear that. Five of us are moms. We talk about our fears, our concerns, our frustrations, and quite a bit of other stuff. We don't always agree. We have some healthy discussions when we don't. But our common thread is that the most important aspect of our lives are, without question, our children. We love them. We get frustrated by them. We are challenged by them. But we always, and I mean always and forever, want the best for them. We want them to be healthy and we want them to be safe, and we take our role seriously to make sure that is the case. Mm-hmm. Moms Across America joins hands and arms and hearts every day to engage people to make sure that good things happen for our children, around causes that are important for all children across America. I invite you to learn more about them and contemplate what your role as a good steward might be when it comes to protecting the only future we have ever had, our children. Thanks for being a part of my world, and Zen Honeycutt, thanks for showing up in it.
Thank you.